Good morning, everyone. How are we doing today? All right, sounds good. Anyone else here not know it was daylight savings time? Just me and Drew? Oh, yeah, a handful of you? Yeah. Whew, that caught me off guard. Hebrews chapter 2. Kind of an odd thing, but I've been trying to preach this message for 3 weeks, so here we go. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 says, "For this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard, God also testifying with them, both by signs and wonders, and by various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his will." Let's pray. Dear Lord God, you alone are the great I am. You are light, love, righteousness. You are goodness. And in you is no darkness at all. We thank you that we are your people, that you have extended your light, your love, and your righteousness to us. It is an honor to not only know you, but to be known by you. Thank you for what you have done on our behalf, and may we never forget the importance of what we have and always pay close attention to what you have given us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So, in the mornings in the Bible class, we're doing a New Testament overview, and the book of Hebrews is just packed with information. So I gave myself a couple extra weeks in Hebrews, and then I went through and preached messages because there's just so much information in here. And this was one topic that didn't come out in class and never necessarily came out through the preaching. So it's something that I just wanted to add here. So in verse 1, he says, "For this reason, we must pay much closer attention." In chapter 1, the author has made it clear that Jesus is mightier than the angels. And in the book of Hebrews, he's almost going to go chapter by chapter explaining, showing, and giving evidence that every part of Jesus and his ministry, his priesthood, and his kingship are greater than anything of the Old Testament. And that would be important for the Hebrew people because their system was being done away with and replaced with a new covenant where Jesus is king and high priest and we are his people, the Israel of God. Amen? And so in the context, in the beginning context of Jesus is preeminent, he is higher than the angels, he is most important, he is the radiance of God, the exact representation of his nature. Chapter 2 says, for that reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away from it. And that's what I really want to focus on this morning. Now, I may bring this point up again, but, you know, I don't preach a message of we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard lest we drift, because I think this congregation's doing that. I'm just going through and preaching sections of the scripture and teaching sections through Hebrews, and this was just one section that's a great section that we just didn't hit. Okay? If your toes are getting stepped on, if you are drifting, then heed the warnings in the message. Okay? But this isn't me saying our congregation is drifting. Okay? But there's warnings in the scriptures. And man has a tendency to drift. All right? And the problem with drifting, and I'll come back to this later, the problem with drifting is you usually don't know you're doing it. You know? Okay? So we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift. And now he's going to give us a little look back into the old covenant, right? And in verse 2, he says, "If the word spoken through the angels proved unalterable," okay, that would be the giving of the law on Mount Sinai, "and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" Okay, you go on over to chapter 10 here in Hebrews. Chapter 10 will make this point. We probably will find ourselves back here in chapter 10 later. But if you look at verse 28, which is wedged in the context of understanding the importance of what you have been given and not neglecting it, which was the exact same context of chapter 2, okay? He says in verse 21, "Anyone who set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses." So under the old covenant, if two people could prove you did it, stoned on the spot, dead. Want to go back to that covenant? Or do we want to realize, as God's privileged people, what we have been given, that we are in a covenant of grace and mercy and Jesus forgives? Maybe why Jesus would want us to extend forgiveness to one another, right? Because that's what Jesus has done on our behalf. He's like, so in chapter 2, he's like, we got to pay much closer attention to what we have heard. It's very valuable, very important, this covenant that we are under. We are a very privileged people. He says in verse 2, the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty. An example of that is if they can prove you did it, they stoned you on the spot. I don't want to be a part of that covenant. I want to pay much closer attention to what Christ has given us. This new covenant, a superior covenant. So in verse 3, he's like, how are we going to neglect so great a salvation? It's like under the old covenant, if you just break the rule and people could prove it, what do you think is going to happen when you've been given something greater and then you thrust that aside? Not good, okay? He says, after it was first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard. So he just, you know, and there's probably another message you could do here, but the New Testament, the New Covenant was confirmed through these things, okay, through the witness testimony of the apostles and through miracles and all these things. So we want to be careful not to drift. We must pay much closer attention to what we have heard. To a certain extent, this is a little bit human nature, but have you ever, like, opened up your Bible and done your Bible reading for the day and then closed it and then not remembered a single thing you read? That doesn't mean you're a bad Christian. But it happens, doesn't it? So we have to be on guard against that. The Holy Spirit tells us we must pay closer attention to the things that we have heard. Now, I tell people all the time, if you have a desire to grow closer to God and to see the resurrected Christ in the Word of God, okay, this is the only place you're going to get that. You understand that, right? So at some point, for hopefully your desire and your love for God, okay, you're going to have your nose in this thing. And you should. But if you're reading this thing and habitually closing it and not knowing what you read, then you've got to switch it up a little bit. Okay, read smaller sections of Scripture. Okay, get in the Psalms, read one Psalm, close the book, pray about it for 15 minutes, and remember what you read. Because it is far better to remember and pay close attention to what you have heard than to knock out 3 chapters through Leviticus and not have a clue what you read. And if you're reading Leviticus and you're trying to pay attention and you still don't have a clue what you're reading, you write it down and ask Kendall. Right? And if he doesn't know, then he asks Kevin. I'm putting myself third in the list. Go to those guys. I'm joking. You guys see what I'm saying? So don't be afraid. Sometimes we get this in our mind that we've got to read through our whole Bible in a year. That's great. And if you can do that, that's awesome. Keep doing that. But if you're continually closing this thing and you don't remember what you read that morning, switch it up. Bite off smaller sections. It's way more important that you develop that habit than it is, you know, reading 5 chapters one day and then not reading for the whole next week, right? Way better that you have a good, consistent habit of seeking God in His Word. Have you ever come to assembly and then left and not remembered a single thing that you heard? Hey, that happens to me too sometimes. And I'm not saying if that happened to you, you're a bad Christian. I'm, to a certain extent, that's kind of our nature. I mean, it's hard to remember everything, right? I mean, even Jared came up here on Wednesday and he was like, okay, what were the 4 tenets that I went over last week? And I was like, I only remembered 2, right? That's a little bit, that happens, okay? And so as a good teacher, he's okay, these are what, and as soon as he starts listing them, right, bing, the whole class comes flooding back in. So what we should do, and what I try to do, is we have that conversation in the car on the way home. Maybe you guys are headed to the buffet for lunch. I don't know. Put those little things in place where you're like, hey, what was your favorite part of assembly? Okay, kiddo, what did you learn in Sunday school? Hey, husband, what was your favorite part of the message? Well, I don't know. What did he say? Well, doesn't that happen? I'm like in the car, and what did I say? Oh, I mean, what did he say in the message this morning? We usually try to make it a topic, at least in the car on the way home or at lunch. Why is my family doing that? Why am I giving you ideas? Why? Because God wants us to pay attention to what he has said. Because he has the words of eternal life. You know, Jesus' teaching is very controversial, yes? There's one point in the Gospel of John where his teaching gets so controversial, like eat my flesh and drink my blood. It says many of his followers left him that day. So many of Jesus' followers left him that day, he turned to his own apostles and said, are you guys out too? Do you guys remember Peter's response? Where would we go, Lord? For you have the words of eternal life. Pretty important that we're paying close attention to him, huh? You're not going to remember every verse you read this morning or every word I said in the message, but you should desire to. To think on these things, to meditate on, to converse about. What else would you talk about at lunch at the buffet? The football game? Well, that's cool, but how does it rank in comparison to the word preached or taught? Or even the Bible question this morning that Kendall does a great job with. Things that we're thinking about. I recently, and I hope this isn't taken negatively, it's feedback. But I recently got feedback from someone who was visiting our congregation, and they said, you know, I was really turned off. Half the people in the back row were on their phones the whole time. And they said, and Nolan, I know they weren't on their Bible apps because I saw the games they were playing on their phone. You know, some feedback that I get, right? I get positive and negative feedback every once in a while. But I get lots of feedback from people, you know, people visiting or people from out of town swinging through. We've got the ice snoggle stay. We have visitors all the time. That's kind of the nature of Billings. We're kind of a hub, right? People are always coming through, stopping and visiting. That's how Billings even got its map, you know, its place on the map in Montana in the first place. We didn't have the copper or the gold in Billings, did we? What do we have? We don't have anything. We're just a stop along the river to get to Butte. That's why Billings exists. Well, I'm serious. So we have people coming through all the time, and some feedback I got recently was half the people in the back row are on their phone playing games because I saw them. Okay? And the Holy Spirit says we ought to pay much closer attention to what we've heard. And you're in the back, you know, I don't know what you're playing, whatever it is. Maybe it's social media too. You know? And, you know, I've had people in, and look, I've had kids in school during math. Who are just, they're gone, right? I mean, they are gone. And I'll say, let's call him Jimmy. Say, Jimmy, what was the greatest common factor? In his eyes? And he'll just bang, 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 regurgitate everything I said verbatim. Like, there are some people, okay, who... You know, and young kids are like this, all right? And it's important to know this when you're teaching kids. But there are some kids that look like they ain't paying attention, but they're listening. So I've gotten some feedback from adults before, and they say, well, just so you know, I am on my phone, but I remember everything you say. Okay? Looks like you're not paying attention. Why would I still caution you to not be on your phone? For how it looks to the person sitting next to you. Who doesn't have that ability? Who thinks, oh, I can do it because they're doing it? Your kids? Maybe because your kids are looking to you? They're thinking, hey, this is how assembly is supposed to be. This is how, hey, you might have the ability to look like you're not paying attention and to still hear the words, but who's to say the visitor has that ability or your own kids, right? So the example that we set really matters. 1 Peter chapter 2 really comes to mind on this. Kevin, in a way, touched on this in his message on Lord's Day. He was doing a word study, but I got thinking about this verse later. I guess I was paying attention, but In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, he says, "Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers." So he was doing a word study on aliens, right? He says, "I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts, which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation." Like, there's a certain component to this, and I'm not saying this verse is like fleshly lust and playing, you know, whatever on your phone. That's not the connection here. The connection here is there are things that we could do that we couldn't put ourselves under law and say we shouldn't do, but there are still things that we refrain from doing because of the appearance it gives from those who are weaker than us, particularly the lost. Many things in my life that I choose not to do, that I don't have a scriptural command not to do, because I'm trying to set a tone and an example that might draw people to God. And even if it means not going along with something just to stand out and look different, so people are like, "Well, why are you so different?" You know, I remember by the time I was 18, I probably got asked a million times why I didn't have a tattoo. I finally got to the point where every one of my friends had tattoos and I was the only unique one in the group. So I was like, "Hey, I'm just never going to get one, and then I'll be the unique one." And it started as, and you see how this goes over the decades, where people are getting these things and they're unique to them, and it makes them different, it makes them unique. And then I could kind of notice that I was getting more attention by not having one. So I kind of just saw that and was like, "Hey, I'll just use it as a way to draw people to God." Okay? Does that mean that if you have a tattoo, you're not drawing people to God? My point is I've made choices in my life of things that I don't have a scriptural thing to stand on and be like, "Thou shalt not." And I've made those choices because I notice it draws people. And I say, "I don't know, I've just made that choice." Okay? I try to make sure that everything I do, I'm doing to God's glory and not my own glory. Okay? So 1 Peter 2 would tell us that we got to consider the things that we're doing and how they can impact people around us, because we're trying to save souls. And it might mean maybe you shouldn't be on your phone during assembly, as an example. Remember, I'm giving us examples. I'm giving us some honest feedback. I'm not saying this because it's so terrible and it's this huge problem in Billings. I'm saying, look, here's the warning. We got to pay close attention. And the first thing I think of is reading his word and paying attention in assembly. Okay, but it goes and extends so much further than that. If you guys go to James, in James chapter 1, we'll cover this in class, but James 1:21, right? "Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your soul." That word has to not only be heard, but it has to be heard so well that it's implanted. It didn't go one ear and out the other. It went in one ear and implanted itself in you. That's what has the ability to save. Receive the word implanted, which saves. I always think about this Bible verse when Bible Bowl comes around. You know, and it's sad to think about, but there are names of championship performers on that Bible Bowl trophy that are not Christians today. Okay? So does that mean that we don't study Scripture and memorize it? I studied 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses, 8 through 14 this week. Like, it's good to have that. And I was able to use that all week, because I implanted it, right? No, of course we study the Scriptures. But just reading our Bibles and going to assembly, like, there are names of people on this trophy that memorized huge sections of Scriptures that the Word didn't implant. And I always think about James 1:21 when Bible comes around, because it's one thing to read your Bible, it's one thing to go to assembly, it's one thing to do this, but if you're not actually hearing it, and it's going in and implanting, then it's not, it doesn't have the ability to save. James says it's the word implanted that has the ability to save. So the message comes from the perspective of, hey, just be careful you're not drifting. Maybe today is the day. Do a little personal inventory. Have I been drifting? Right? Instead of getting mad at me if I said you were on your phone, I'm just giving you guys feedback that I got. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm saying it's not a good look. You guys do what you want with that information, right? The warning is, hey, am I drifting? Do I actually know what the Word of God says? And is it implanted in my life? And is it causing a change and conforming me into the example that the Word says is Christ Jesus? Not everybody's wired this way. I understand that. I'm wired this way. I like feedback. I like doing these things. And not everybody's that way. But I got to tell you, drifting's dangerous because you don't know you're drifting. And so this was kind of odd. The first time I ever got to see the ocean was off the coast of Anchorage, Alaska. So it wasn't quite the beach in California. But I made a work trip up to Anchorage, and we got to go fish halibut out of the ocean. So they got the tractors along the coast there, and because it's not really a coast, it's interesting. But so they're driving all the boats down in. So I'm in the middle of the ocean. That's my first ocean experience, you know. And so we're kind of bobbing around. The seals are everywhere, and the birds are all flying around, and we're kind of talking to the instructor. And then all of a sudden, there's three or four guys on the back, right? Just puking off the side of the boat. And I was like, oh yeah, people get seasick at sea, don't they? So then I was like, am I sick? And so I made that trip twice, fished halibut out of the ocean. And so I never personally got seasick, right? But the thing about drifting at sea, if you do it long enough, people get sick, don't they? And so spiritually speaking, that's true too. We want to be on guard against that. When we were going through Hebrews, and I was trying to think of the right way to say this, I was shocked at the amount of emphasis the book of Hebrews puts on not falling away. If you were to ask me, as the evangelist, hey, give me a verse from Hebrews that warns against falling away. I mean, I could ramble off, three right away. But I was really shocked that when we did the overview through Hebrews, just how much this message of do not fall away is embedded. At least six or seven contextual verses talking about don't fall away. Hebrews in chapter 2, he says, it's for this reason we must pay much closer attention. What's the reason? Because we recognize the value of what we've been given. And we don't want to lose that. Because our focus ends up going somewhere else. Don't throw that away. There's been a couple statements that I've heard people say, people older and wiser than myself, that people have said that have played has played itself out in my life. You guys ever have those in your life? Maybe a parent or somebody, they say something to you and then you just watch it play out over the next 10, 20 years. And it doesn't matter what it is, but it's true for spiritual things as well. People are either looking for a way in or they are looking for a way out. People are either willing to subject their life to God's teachings and they will humble themselves and they will not cause strife. And they will not practice envy and jealousy. And they will not slander and gossip. Because they will humble themselves. And they will obey God. Or they will not like God's commandments. And they will want to push their own will. Okay? And they will look for a way out. And so Hebrews is warning us. Don't throw this away. Don't throw it away. My faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. How about yours? There is not a single thing any one of you could do. There isn't a single thing any one of you could say that would cause me to throw away my faith in Christ Jesus. Amen? That's how you got to think about this. Look, we're working with new creations. And the New Testament is written to new creations, yes? And it says a whole bunch of stuff like stop stealing, lying, cheating, murdering, and dividing and stop just being awful. Because we are in the process of being conformed into the image of the Son. And that's a process. And you can't just write people off when they mess up. You can't. Our Lord has been merciful, gracious, and very forgiving with us. But your faith is in Christ Jesus. Amen? And there is nothing I could say this morning. There's nothing that anyone here could do that should alter that faith. Amen? Amen? Don't fall away. Don't drift. Because a lot of times we start to doubt the teachings of God when we don't see them playing themselves out in the lives of other people. It happens. Legitimate concern. Galatians 6 would say, you who are spiritual, restore that person in a spirit of gentleness, each looking to yourself. Maybe that's next week's message. I don't know. It's like, are you the person that should be saying something in the first place? Do you have a relationship with that person? Or are you just a nosy Nelly and you're in business that isn't your own? Are you a spiritual corrector? Is your spiritual house in order? Have you done it in a spirit of gentleness and not judgment? And are you looking to yourself too? So that you too will not be tempted. Those are important things, okay? So, I want you guys to go to Hebrews chapter 3. Oh, boy. I don't suppose because I forgot about daylight savings that that gives me an extra hour, does it? Thank you for laughing. I would never do that to you. We're going an hour longer today. Okay. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 12 says, take care, brethren, that there not be any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. Encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. It hardens us. That's why we fall away. We're drifting and we don't realize it, and it hardens us, and we're puking off the side of the deck, and people are like, hey, you kind of need to get some things changed in your life. But then you get defensive and then you shun that help. And then pretty soon you're so hardened and then all of a sudden you're gone. You know, I think about when sin hardens the heart. I think about you can always kind of tell by how hard somebody's worked in their life by looking at their hands, right? Like if you looked at my hands, you'd be like, he doesn't work on a ranch. Okay. I spent a lot of time hanging from, moving barbells and hanging from pull-up bars and stuff. And you develop really, really big, thick calluses. Okay? And so when you do that every day, you actually have to trim your calluses down because they become a problem. So when you do something over and over again, your body develops a hardening on the outside so that it can continue to do that thing. Right? That's how sin works. And it doesn't matter if it's immorality or if it's just malice. Or gossip, right? Like, if you continue to engage in this behavior, your heart has to callous itself in order to do it again the next time. And it just keeps callousing and callousing and callousing, and it grows so hard so that it can continue to do this so your conscience doesn't keep you up all night, every night. And so what the writer of Hebrews says, he says, hey, each one of you, okay, be careful to fall away. We've got each other. I thought Steve said that so well in his prayer this morning. Like, the Lord from the very beginning has said it's not good for man to be alone. And I don't think that ended just because he gave him a helper. When we were immersed into Christ, we were also immersed into the body. And the Lord gave us the church so that we can encourage each other and help each other out. Right? So that if there are people drifting, we're helping each other out. When is the time to get started, though? He says, as long as it's called today. And that doesn't mean if it's time for you to ask yourself, self, have I been drifting? Or maybe you've been so preoccupied with yourself that you haven't stimulated others to love and good deeds or encouraged others who could really use it. Either way, the moment, like, those calluses will go down. I don't have any calluses right now because I haven't lifted a barbell in like 3 months. Okay? Haven't been to the gym. Okay? That can happen spiritually as well. You know, I got to tell you guys. All right, so we announced Quinn's birthday. So I'm at Quinn's house on Friday for fellowship, and all the kids are there, and we're having a blast. And it's Friday, and Quinn's birthday is the next day, Saturday. And I know it's Quinn's birthday because him and my wife share a birthday. Okay? And just, he's sitting on the couch, and he's just talking to me, and he's telling me about what he's going to do the next day. It's my birthday. I'm going to do this tonight. I'm going to do this tomorrow. And I looked at him. And he just had this, like, not this look of joy and hope. But it was just when you look into the eyes of a kid and you can see that to them the world is so big and nothing's impossible. You know that look that they give? He gave me that look on Friday. He was just so excited. Do you guys feel like that about your birthday? No. Most of you are trying to hide it, your birthday. And you're not telling us how old you are. You know, I got lucky because Ethan announced her birthday. There was a chance I wasn't going to be in here. And I said, do you want us to stay or not? She goes, well, I don't care. Well, she's lucky because she's young, so she can do that, right? But I looked at Quinn, and I looked at this hope that's in his eyes, and then I saw his whole life that's in front of him. And you know what my thought was? A part of me wishes I could go back to being 12 and do so many things different. And I don't mean regrets. I'm very comfortable and confident with the choices I've made in my life. And to a degree, every Christian needs to be because they've brought you to Christ, right? And so that's okay. We don't live our lives, you know, trying to worry about the past. What I meant was I saw that eagerness and that hope, and I realized there's been points of wasted time in my life. And I would really give a lot to go back and make every day count for the Lord. And then it hit me this morning. It doesn't matter if you're 12, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70. Isn't today the day to start? Because aren't you going to look back to today in 10 years and say, man, I wish I had XYZ the last 10 years, lived my life as a living sacrifice for God, given my time to bringing his glory, to sharing these things? Today's the day to start. Because Hebrews 6 does teach us that there is a point of no return. I want us to go to Hebrews 10 and then hit some closing comments here. I just got a couple stories I want to share with us. I don't know if you remember, but I read through Hebrews 10 in the course of 2 weeks and just preached through Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10 is powerful. And one of the concepts that come through in Hebrews 10, in verse 25, well, in verse 24, he says, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. You see how that's going with the message this morning? We are to encourage one another. We don't want people to drift and to fall away. We got to think about how to encourage other people. In verse 25, he says, not forsaking our assembling together as is the habit of some. Look, if you're not here, you can't encourage and you can't be encouraged. Okay, we must be careful to pay much closer attention to what we've heard, but we don't read our Bible and we don't go to assembly. Okay, that's drifting. Okay, and you don't want to stay in that boat. You don't want to stay in that position. And so he goes on here, and there's just this warning. Okay, so what it always reminds me of is Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. He's talking about the Lord's Supper, right? We want to make the assemblies a consistent habit. Because the Lord's Supper is where we get life. And Jesus says that if we aren't participating in this, we're losing life. Does that make sense? Let me come back to my lamb example. But some other feedback that I got recently, I'm just trying to give us examples, just being honest with us. I'm not attacking anybody. But some other feedback I got recently was somebody came by the congregation, opened up the bulletin, saw how many people were here this morning, and then saw how many people were here tonight, and they were shocked. Over half of you just don't come back? Some feedback I got. Like, hey, there's a called assembly tonight where we can gather together to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Now, I don't know why it says 130 in the morning and 65 at night. I don't know if you went to work. I usually don't bother to find answers to those questions because this is between you and God. But this is some feedback that I got, right? There's 140 people and then bang, there's 65 at night. Okay? I've told you guys, basketball was a huge part of my entire life growing up. So much so that, regrettably so, I used to be that, you know, 15, 16-year-old kid saying, basketball is life. You know what I would like my 15 or 16-year-old boy and daughter saying? Christ is life. Not volleyball, not basketball, not word puzzles. So when basketball ended at the age of 18, because no college would draft me, you know, wasn't tall enough, fast enough, or good enough, what had comprised my entire identity stopped in one day. That's difficult for people. And life comes in transitions, and we go through them all the way until we die. Okay? One of the most difficult transitions that's been told me is when all your kids walk out the door. Because if you think about it, if you've got two or three kids, and you were a parent to those kids, you were a parent to those kids for 20, 22 years, and they were in your home under your care, and you're like, what, 40? 45? Half your life's identity just walks out the door. That's a difficult transition for people in life, right? It's difficult. So, on a much smaller example, what had comprised my entire life identity stopped in one day. I had such a desire to play basketball, and it just stopped overnight. I found out that they had like these city league basketball leagues in town. I was so excited to be a part of that. Do you guys remember this story? I was so excited that I got to keep playing basketball. So I signed up for the league, and the games were on Wednesdays. And then we had practices, you know, on the weekend. I walked straight up to my boss, and I said, I want to play so bad. Then the games are on Wednesday. I will not be here on Wednesdays. And I was supposed to work on Wednesdays. And I said, you will either switch it and give me the day off, or you will fire me. And I did not want to be fired. I liked my job. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? Because of what I wanted so bad was to play basketball, like structured competitive basketball. Like, you don't see me out here shooting hoops all the time. That doesn't do it for me. The competitive, there's a ref, there's a coach, there's a score, a team wins, a team loses, like that lights my fire. And I found that fire again. I walked straight up to my boss and I said, give me Wednesdays off or fire me, because of how important it was to me. Now, those basketball practices for like 20, 30, and 40-year-old dudes, do you think those were mandatory? Do you think I ever missed a practice, though? No way. Because of how much it meant to me. Do you guys see that? We got to be honest with ourselves. How bad do we really want this? How valuable is the assembly? How valuable is God's church? How sincere, how much do we really, really desire these things? Because I'm telling you guys, okay, one more story. Please just, I've been doing really good at stopping at 11:30. I want to tell this. I told you I had a couple stories for you, okay? So, the wheel bearings went out on my GMC Yukon. Mechanics. Do GMC Yukon wheel bearings go out like all the time? Yes. I'm on the way home. I worked my last shift. The next day is my day off, right? I'm driving home at 1 a.m. to my street, and the front end goes, whoom, whoom. I was like, and so I turned right into the gas station and just parked. Okay, Super Dave remembers this because he fixed it. He had to tow my rig to the shop to fix the wheel bearing. When he put the rig on jacks, the tire fell off. The wheel bearing was so bad. So now it's the next day. I'm sitting in my apartment and it's my day off. I get the call. We're busy. We're shorthanded. We need you to come in. I said, no problem. I'll be there as soon as possible. And I hung up. Now, I lived over where Jared Eckerly lives, over by the overpass on South Frontage Road. So I had to walk from Josephine Crossing to Texas Roadhouse, which is 2 miles. And this was in the winter. And there was a few inches of snow on the ground. So I walked through that part that Jude always says he lived at for a while, underneath the overpass there at Frontage Road where the train tracks are. I had to walk through there. And what had happened was the snow was there, but the underneath was melted snow. So there was about an inch and a half of just standing water under the snow. So it's winter, it's February, it's like 20 degrees outside. I walked 1.5 to 2 miles to work in the snow because I didn't have a car. Show up, get, walk in, squish, 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 squish. And then I just froze to death because my feet were in freezing cold water for the next 3 hours I worked. I think I got a ride home that night. Did I have every reason to say, don't have a car, can't make it? Yeah, click. Or, I don't want to. Click. Did I have every reason to say, it's my day off? Click. That's kind of crazy, is it not? Why did I do it? This isn't glorify Nolan. This is understand the mindset. Why did I do it? Man, I was committed. I wanted us to be the best restaurant in town, and I wanted us to smoke all the other Texas Roadhouses in my region. I wanted the best labor costs, the best food production, the best food costs. I wanted all that, and I was willing to do anything to achieve it. Now, looking back on that, I'm really excited that I've taken those and aligned those with God and not for being an awesome restaurant. How about you guys? Do you see what I'm saying? I'm not saying if you don't do those things or don't hit every evening assembly that you're drifting. I'm saying, look, there's a mindset behind these things, and we want to understand them. Hebrews chapter 2. For this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. Let's stand.